Hey y'all, we're going to look today at the last section of the Sermon on the Plain here in Luke chapter 6, and we'll pick up in verse 39. He also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good, and the evil person, out of his evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words, and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it, because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So again, this is the last section of the Sermon on the Plain. And I've compared the Sermon on the Plain somewhat to the Sermon on the Mount, but it seems like it's similar content for a different audience. Probably because of the larger Gentile audience, it's perhaps a similar message, but one that Gentile hearers might be able to comprehend and understand a little bit better. It's broken down, remember, into three sections. The first section is Luke's version of the Beatitudes, which includes four attitudes that bring blessing and four attitudes that bring destruction. And those are largely about learning to see life and value things like God does. The second section had to do with the way you should live, actions you should take. And the primary action was one of not just loving people who love you, but loving your enemies. And then the last section here, you might say it's how to lead others, how to help others out of the darkness. And notice that what holds all of this last section of the Sermon on the Plain together is that it is a collection of images. Jesus uses vivid images to help us understand and illustrate what he's trying to say. So let's look at those four images. The first, the blind leading the blind. Right. I think this is a somewhat comic image. We should see some blind person who acts really confident and says, "Oh, here, let me show you how to do that," or "Let me show you where to go," and they both wind up falling down. Notice, though, about this, Jesus does not say that wanting to lead others is bad. He says wanting to lead others when you don't know where to go or how to get there is bad. And so he says the key here is that you are my disciples. And if you are my disciples, well, let me put it this way. The key here is that you need to be my disciples. And a disciple's goal is to be fully trained to think and act like his master does. That is what the goal is. And he says, look, when you're a fully trained disciple, then you'll be able to lead others. Then you'll be able to be a guide to them. And I think it's interesting that he uses that image of fully trained. The life of a disciple is one of training and preparation. Then he gives another image that I think is also intended to be comical, and it's also connected to the idea of being blind. This image of somebody helping you get a little piece of dust out of your eye when he's got a giant piece of wood in his own eye. Again, I think we're meant to visualize this and it to be pretty comic. Notice again, he doesn't say, you shouldn't try to get specks out of people's eyes. He says, that's actually a good thing to do. Help people see accurately. But in order to do so, you need to learn to be able to see accurately. So again, I would connect that with being fully trained. The goal is to get the specks out of your own eye that you can help get out, that you can then go to help other people get those out of their eyes. Then Jesus moves on to another highly favored image in Scripture, the image of a fruit tree. And when I say it's highly favored, think of how we see fruit trees in the Garden of in the Garden of Eden. We see fruit trees in the New Jerusalem, in the garden in the middle of the city. Israel is commonly compared to a fruit tree. And of course, most famously, Psalm 1 compares those who follow God's teaching, who are disciples of God's teaching, to those who don't. And those who follow God's teaching are like a healthy, robust, verdant, fruitful tree compared to dust or chaff that gets blown around in the wind. And here Jesus is countering the idea that our regular actions don't tell us something about who we are. In other words, he says, listen, if you want to know what kind of a tree you've got, wait till the fruiting season comes, and when the fruit comes out and you taste it, you'll be able to know what kind of tree it is. Jesus is saying that the actions that we regularly practice and the kind of words we regularly say tell us what goes on in our heart before all that action goes on. This is a very important biblical principle, that the heart, the center of thinking, the center of affections, what we regularly think about, what we regularly set our attention and our affections on, will determine what we do and what we say. And Jesus is saying, essentially, guard your heart above all else. This is one of the Proverbs, right? Above all the things you are careful about, you should guard your heart and what goes on there. If you nurse bitterness over how people have treated you, it will result in bad fruit in your relationships. The final image is the image of a house that we're very familiar with. But notice what he says. You say to me, Lord, Lord. That's interesting because that looks like it's from Exodus 34:6, where God declares his name, the Lord, the Lord. He says it twice. He says, you look like you're my disciples. You look like you're followers of me. But you don't seriously intend to put into practice what I teach. And so Jesus says, let me tell you what that kind of person is. If you don't seriously intend to put my teachings into practice, life will destroy you. Your life will fall apart. Your life will be ruined by life. Notice he says both the house built on the rock and the house built on sand, for both houses, storms come. Storms are inevitable. Life inevitably brings difficulty and stress and anxiety and things that could destroy us. But he says, only those who seriously intend to put my teachings into practice and train themselves to put them into practice will stand the inevitable storms of life. Now, just here at the end, I want to point out that there are several ways to think about how this applies. Obviously, all of us should be thinking about how this applies to us as individuals. What kind of fruit comes out of our life? Do we try to help others, but we haven't gotten a foundation of being helped ourselves by God? That is first and foremost what we should do, is examine ourselves. But I think it's also worth noting that Jesus is probably in this section addressing the Pharisees. Think about all the images that are used, the blind leading the blind. That's an image of leaders who don't know what they're talking about leading other people. Fruit trees. Israel is regularly compared to a fruit tree. There is a cluster of grapes over the entrance to the temple courts. Jesus compares Israel to a fig tree when he curses the fig tree for not bearing fruit. And the temple is this house, right? And I think Jesus is essentially saying in this section, listen, the leaders of my people and the temple itself were meant to bear a certain kind of fruit. We're meant to lead people in the teachings of God, and they have failed to do so, and so their life is going to fall apart. So in the final analysis, I think this is Jesus' declaration of judgment on the temple establishment and on the leadership in Israel at the time who had failed to lead the people of God in really being disciples of God. So may we have our eyes open to see Jesus and who he is. May we become those who treasure his teachings in our hearts so that we can put them into practice. May we be those whose lives are more and more substantial and firm against the storms of life because our roots are set down deep in the gospel of Jesus Christ and rooted and grounded in his love. Amen.